Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I'm really trying to build up my enthusiasm for this book. This week's book is 1993's The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star. It's a Cub Club book. Look, Ma, I'm reading. We haven't covered a Cub Club book in quite a while, and it's nice to kind of be back on the old Cub Club saddle. We whipped past the whole Cub Club section, by the way. You're probably wondering, why are you doing a book from 1993 that's 10 years before the latest book you've been covering? Well, that's because the Cub Club books are numerous and difficult to get your hands on. They've gone out of print and have been out of print for many a year. Many of them were reconfigured and republished as the Step Into Reading books, the later readers from like 2005. In fact, The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star has been reprinted as one of those readers, but as we know from past examples, those readers are not very good reproductions of the original books. In many cases, the text has been simplified, the illustrations have been redrawn, they look different, they feel different, they may tell the same story, but they're not, they don't have the same punch, the same panache, the same Berenstain feel to them. So I'm covering the original Wishing Star. I read both versions, and the later version is exactly what I described. It's exactly the same book. It's just very, very simplified. It's just they took out like every other sentence. They just decided, we're going to make this a shorter book. We're going to just cut all extraneous detail, all illustrative detail, and tell you the bare bones story. They added the Starlight, Starbright rhyme a couple of extra times. And strangely enough, they changed Brother Bear's school project for reasons that I can't even imagine. But what is this book about? What is The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star? It's actually an interesting little tale of bear country. We see a few areas of bear country that we haven't seen in quite a while. We learn a little bit about our characters. If you remember the Cub Club books, they have the cubs when they were much younger than they are in the first time books, especially Sister. She always comes across as maybe preschool age. She hasn't experienced a lot of the things that we know Sister to have experienced at this point in the bear's history. Most of these books seem to have been illustrated by freelancers, I'm going to assume, because of the heavier dark lines that the bears are drawn with, the roundness of the eyes, the somewhat uniformity of their faces and expressions. But don't quote me on that. Don't hold me to that. The quality of the illustrations of the Cub Club books is always something that I've been impressed with. The attention to detail is always something I've been impressed with. I don't know if maybe the layouts were done by the Berenstains, and then maybe the freelancers just did the inking, or maybe it was just them. There's a boldness to the line that I find very different from what the Berenstains were doing with their own in the main series at this time in their careers. It's hard for me to explain. If you saw them, if you saw the pictures, you'd know what I was talking about. They almost look like illustrations out of a coloring book. But the colors are still very much Berenstain colors. The coloring is still very much the kind of coloring you would see in the main picture books. It's very hand done. It doesn't look, you know, processed or cookie cutter. There's still that like watercolor wash to everything. So I don't know. I do not know. The credits are not, they don't like have a page at the very end where they're like, and here's, you know, like who actually did all this work. So it still feels very much like a Berenstain Bears book. So what's the story? What is the story of the Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star? Well, we kick off with a little avarice from Sister. Sister is at the mall with her family. This is the great big mall, which we haven't covered yet. There's another Cub Club book that's just specifically about the mall. I'll be getting to that very soon. They're at the mall, and Sister sees a teddy bear in the toy store window, and they all decide that it's a very nice bear. Sister really wants this teddy bear, and we had a discussion just a few weeks ago about the presence of the teddy bear in bear country, and what does that mean in bear country? And obviously, if bear country history is the same as America's history, at least similar to America's history. It does point to there having been a Teddy Roosevelt, who the teddy bear is named after. So we know that at some point there was, you know, in their history books, they learn about Teddy Roosevelt or whoever. But in any case, sister really wants a teddy bear. Mama and Papa mentally decide that that's what they're going to get sister for her birthday. So the next bit is the cubs are working on their homework and brother's working on a model of the solar system. That's where the difference is between this version of the story and the step into reading version of the story. Our brother is working on a map of bear country in the step into reading version, which is really the only difference. Sister's working on math because she got a pretty bad grade on her last report card. She got a C, and she wants to get it up to a B, or maybe, if she's lucky, even an A. So that night, it's bedtime, and Mama looks out the window, and she can see the wishing star, the northern star. And Sister's never heard of the fact that people consider this a wishing star. So Mama does the Starlight Starbright wish for her and says, if you wish hard enough for something, you don't tell anybody about it, your wish might come true. So Sister gives it a shot. She says the rhyme. Brother's a little, incredulous about it, but Sister's younger than him, and he's not going to, burst her bubble. And so she makes a wish. She wishes for the teddy bear. And then on her birthday, lo and behold, the teddy bear shows up, and Sister's like, this wishing thing works. And the next thing you know, she gets a report card back after making another wish, and she gets an A in math, or numbers, as they call it. So she's just psyched about this whole wishing star thing. So she's watching TV, and a TV show comes on. And in the TV show, there is a pony with, as it says, a long tail and a flowing mane. It's a white pony. And the sister goes up to the wishing star that night, and she's like, you know what? I want a beautiful white pony with a long tail and a flowing mane. And the next morning, she gets up, and there's no pony. No matter where she goes, there's no pony. She can't find the pony anywhere, and she gets pretty discouraged. And brother's like, what's wrong? And she's like, my wish didn't come true. And he's like, what did you wish for? And sister's like, I cannot tell you. And this is what I like. Brother realizes that sister's going through some stuff, that she's down about something, that her wish didn't come true. Brother, being a good big brother, decides to help sister by A, treating her problem as valid, and B, not shattering the illusion of the power of the wishing star. Now, brother knows that a star is a star is a star, but he also knows that she has that little child's faith in magic, and he doesn't want to wreck that. So she's like, if I tell you, it won't come true. And he's like, it's okay to tell if it doesn't come true, which I guess by wishing star rules means that, you have to re-up the wish every night anyway, I guess is how it works. So he's like, what'd you wish for? And she says, a beautiful white pony with a long tail and a flowing mane. Again, brother decides he needs to teach her a useful lesson, while again, also not shattering her illusions. So he says, you have to be careful with a wishing star. You can't be greedy. If you wish for something that doesn't make sense or something your parents can't afford, the wishing star just doesn't hear you. And she's like, I got my first wish. I wish for the teddy bear. And I got that. And he's like, well, it was your birthday. And then she's like, well, I got my straight A. I got my A in math. And he's like, yeah, but you worked really hard for it. You did extra work. And then he's like, I don't think a beautiful white pony with a long tail and a flowing mane is within the realm of possibility. And then the book ends with sister spouting a little bit of that patented sister sassafras by saying, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Wah, wah, wah. And brother looks at the camera, looks at the reader, shaken. He's shaking. He's visibly shaking. Just wah, 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 wah. It's a very sitcom ending. But I think sister learned her lesson. So this book accomplishes a lot. First of all, teaches you to read. It's a great primer. It's a great reading book. It shows you the childlike power of faith in magic. It shows you that you can get what you wish for, but only if you work for what you wish for. And it shows that probability and possibility are two separate things. Something must be probable in this case, for it to be possible. If it's improbable, it's probably not a possibility of the wishing star. So sister wanted the bear, not realizing that it was already within the realm of possibility that she would get it. She also wanted a good grade. I think she realized that she was working hard for it, but she saw the hard work she was naturally putting into her task as separate from the reward at hand. If she hadn't made the wish on the wishing star, she still would have gotten the A, but she would have ascribed her success to her past efforts instead of to the wishing star. But once the wishing star kind of like came between her and between the straight line of continuity between the effort she put into the A and the A itself, it sort of broke that continuity, and she saw it as the inciting factor as opposed to the work that she herself put in. I think she learned a lesson. I think it also demonstrates that there's a way around this. When I was a kid, I would really want things for Christmas, and I would tell my parents, you know, like, I really wish Santa would bring me X, Y, and Z. And they would tell me, well, you can't wish for anything too big from Santa. And I would say, but why? And my mom would say, because Santa makes us pay him back for all the gifts. And to a little kid, that made sense. I was like, oh, I see. So if we can't afford it, then Santa won't bring it because he's not going to get paid. And Santa gotta get paid. But I remember I talked to one of my friends about that, and he was like, no, that's not how it works. He was a friend who always got like really expensive things at Christmas, so I guess his parents didn't have to make that excuse for him. But it's kind of the same thing. Brother does the same thing. He's like, the wishing star can't bring you anything your parents couldn't afford, which is basically a way of saying, like, even if it's supernatural, the wishing star simply adjusts probability levels. It does not actually magically make things occur. It simply may like give a nudge or a push in a certain direction to a person or to like natural occurrences, but it's not gonna make a bear materialize in your room. It's not going to make a horse materialize in your stable. It's not going to give you that white pony with the beautiful tail and the flowing mane. That's not in the realm of possibility. And no matter how much the wishing star is able to nudge probability, it cannot nudge probability that far. It cannot nudge the improbable into the impossible. That simply won't happen. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That old vaudevillian sister. Let's take a look at these pictures real quick. In the mall, we only see the toy shop from the outside, but hanging in the toy shop window, we have the teddy bear. We have a mobile, which is 5 bear heads, one of which is wearing a funny hat. We have some kind of big cat, I think, some kind of leopard doll. We have a drum with a drumstick. We have a ball, 4 balls. We have a pink pony with a saddle. And we have a robot, like a 1950s toy robot. So this is like an old school toy store. This is like old timey toys. The wishing star is drawn in the way that we will see the Jesus star drawn in future books about Christmas. The cubs share the room, as they do canonically. Sister's teddy bear is sort of Teddy Ruxpin-y, and Brother Bear's model of the solar system is highly inaccurate. It looks more like a giant ball with a bunch of other balls stuck all over it. Or like, if the giant ball is the giant ball supposed to be the sun? It's a big white ball. So I don't get it. So I had thought, so brother, all this ever says is brother worked on a science project. But in the picture, in the first picture of him, he has his tongue stuck out, like he's really working hard. He has 3 like tennis ball sized balls. One is orange, one is yellow, one is pink. And he has he's folded a piece of paper and turned it into like a little nameplate that just says solar stars. So I don't know what that means. He's making a model of solar stars, which, okay, brother, that's a good start. I don't know how much you know about science. It never says what he makes on this science project. But the only other picture we see of his science project is it's a giant, like the size of brother's head, like a basketball size white ball. It's like styrofoam, I guess. There's a metal ring running around it, and attached to that metal ring is a yellow ball, a small yellow ball, a smaller green ball, and then sort of just haphazardly stuck to the top of the white ball is the pink ball, a smaller yellow ball, and then in his hand, brother is holding an orange ball. I don't know what this is a model of. I don't know. I don't know if those are supposed to be solar stars, and if so, what is the white thing? If the white thing's our sun, it's a terrible model of the solar system, because that's not what the solar system looks like at all. Maybe it's a planet. It could be Jupiter, I guess. Maybe to brother, moons are called solar stars. Who knows? It doesn't work. Sister, no one, yeah, never comes back up. Sister's report card, when she gets it, she gets an A in numbers, a B plus in language, and a B plus in spelling. Now, what's funny is she had a dream the night before that she got an A in numbers, a B plus in language, and an A in spelling. And she only gets the B plus in spelling, meaning that her reality falls far from her dreams, which is nice. It's nice that they show that, like, you can't win everything, kid. Also, it removes the element of the supernatural. Why wouldn't the Wishing Star have given her an A in everything? It also never says what the show with the white pony actually is. So, yeah, we're a little bereft. Not a whole lot of Bear Country lore buried in this book. I also want to say that in the morning, Sister comes running downstairs. She's wearing her pink polka dot pajamas. But she also has on this, like, house coat? Not really house coat. It's a robe, but it only goes down to her waist. It's just like a cover-up. Like, just like, I guess, like an early morning pink cover-up. And that's it. It's a kind of a smart little outfit. It's got pockets. And when brother tells her, you know, like, you have to be careful with a wishing star, she shoves her little hands in her pockets and looks all dejected. And the second to the last image of Sister, she's like holding her hands out like, so new? And she's got this look on her face. I love that. It's just a great picture of Sister. Also, the hand detail is really well done. Not so much the last picture of brother and sister. I don't like the face brother is making. I don't care for it. But yeah, all in all, a successful Cub Club book. Now, here's the deal. You can't find this thing new at all. So if you're looking for The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star, and I think you should seek it out, I think it's a good book. You're going to have to go the used route, go to ABE Books or eBay or wherever, search for The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star, find the 1993 edition with Cub Club up in the corner, Berenstain Bears Cub Club. Look, Ma, I'm reading, and order that one, because you don't want to end up with the Step Into Reading version. It's the same basic story, but the narration is stilted, there's no charm in the language, and it's a little more just like, learn these words, kids. Like, it's like, Sister saw a bear. I like the bear, said Sister. Mama and Papa thought Sister might like the bear for her birthday. Like, it's sort of that. The only difference, brother's working on his map of Bear Country. So, yeah, go out and get the Wishing Star. Add it to your collection. Honestly, if you get all the Cub Club books, if you just get a stack of Cub Club books, those things look beautiful. Those are great books. I love the Cub Club series. I love the color of them. I love the size of them. They're nice hardback books. So seek them out. The Berenstain Bears and the Wishing Star. I'll be covering a few more Cub Club books as we progress throughout the next few weeks. I've got a few in my back pocket. Again, I don't cover them all at once because they are out of print. I have to find them. I have to order them. They're not available in digital format. So and my library has none of them. Like, none of the libraries have them because they're old books. Like, these things were printed, they were read, they were destroyed, and they disappeared. So I have to get my hands on them. If you have any Cub Club books you want to send them my way, let me know. I'll be happy to take a look at some of your Cub Club books. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining me again this week for this compact little episode of Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I've had some fun guests on recently. I got to get some more of those fun guests on, talk about some of these books. I don't like to have guests on really for the Cub Clubs too much because they're so simple and they're so short. And they're not really like goofy or silly. They're pretty simple and they get their idea across. They get in, they get out. You can get on with your life. So you can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to go to berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com if you're looking for those early episodes that are being cut off of my feed because the internet is weird and life is a shame and everything is awful. And where was I? Oh, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at bstainbearcast. Go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. And if you want to become a patron, throw a dollar or two my way. Every now and again, I put out extra bonus content, which you can only find on patreon.com. I've put out some extra conversations, put out a little snippet here, a little snippet there, some sound stuff you won't hear anywhere else. So give it a listen, give it a go. Go to patreon.com and support me, because I don't have much money and every little bit counts. To my beautiful patrons who are loyal and on there, I see you, I love you. You're all wonderful, funderful people. I should do a special episode just for you guys. Just for you. And if you join patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, I'll do one just for you too. I mean, not specifically just for you, but like, I'll do one and you'll be able to hear it. So, all right. Thank you so much for joining me for this Cub Club book. And I will see you all next week deep in bear country.